Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Welcome. My name is Gary Zimak, and it's so great to have you back with me here on Blog Talk Radio. We've got a great show for you today, and I thank you for spreading the word, for listening, and for keeping this podcast and my work in your prayers. It feels so good to be back in action. I took a break for several weeks. Lent was difficult this year because I had a lot of traveling to do. Then my daily morning show was becoming more and more hectic. It's been a great blessing, but it was becoming hectic. But now I'm back with this podcast Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio, or Blog Talk Radio, however it is you say that. Oh, man, you never believe I speak for a living. You can also check out the podcast on iTunes or TuneIn Radio. Today, we'll look at the Mass readings for Wednesday of the ninth week in Ordinary Time. We'll also be joined in a pre-recorded interview that I did on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia, by Catholic evangelist Brian Mercier. And he's going to take on the question that he received from an atheist. And this person said, "I don't believe in God." That's really not a question, it's a statement, but Brian really had a great dialogue with this individual, and I think you're going to really enjoy what Brian Mercier had to say, because honestly, we face these types of inquiries, statements, challenges, especially those of us who try to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. You're going to run into people who say, "Hey, I don't believe in him. Don't believe he's real. What do you do?" Well, Brian has some great advice, so stick around and we will talk about that. Before we do the Mass readings for today, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the blessings of another day. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to us. Thank you for the many blessings that we have been given in our lives, including the blessing of suffering. So many times we ignore the blessing of the cross, but it can be a great blessing. So with that in mind, Father, we offer up any suffering that we have today. We ask you to help us, to give us the grace to deal with whatever situation or challenge we will meet. We ask you, Father, to send people our way. If somebody needs to know about you, please send them our way so we could reach out to them. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please help anybody who is sick, anybody who is lonely, anybody who is dealing with doubt or despair. Father, help those who are persecuted because of their faith. Help also those who are struggling, who may have strayed, who may not believe in you anymore. Help them to be able to feel your love and your presence. Father, we lift up our own problems, whatever they may be. And also, I ask you to speak through me on the program today, and please open all of our minds, our hearts, to be able to receive and act upon your message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks again for tuning into the show. If you want to contact me, you can reach me at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you want to find out more about my work, you can visit followingthetruth.com. While you're there, check out the site, look at some of my books, and if you would like me to come to speak to your parish, I would love to do that. Just shoot me an email, either using the contact tab or by sending an email directly to gary@followingthetruth.com. Okay, today in our daily Mass readings, we continue with the saga of Tobit. Today we pick up in Tobit chapter 3, verse 1. It's a bit of a longer reading today, so let's get right to it. "Grief-stricken in spirit, I, Tobit, groaned and wept aloud. Then with sobs I began to pray. You are righteous, O Lord, and all your deeds are just. All your ways are mercy and truth. You are the judge of the world. And now, O Lord, may you be mindful of me, and look with favor upon me. Punish me not for my sins, nor for my inadvertent offenses, nor for those of my ancestors. We sinned against you and disobeyed your commandments. So you handed us over to plundering, exile, and death, till you made us the talk and reproach of all the nations among you whom you had dispersed us. Yes, your judgments are many and true in dealing with me as my sins and those of my ancestors deserve. For we have not kept your commandments, nor have we trodden the paths of truth before you. So now, deal with me as you please, and command my life breath to be taken from me, that I may go from the face of the earth into dust. It is better for me to die than to live, because I have heard insulting calumnies, and I am overwhelmed with grief. Lord, command me to be delivered from such anguish. Let me go to the everlasting abode. Lord, refuse me not, for it is better for me to die than to endure so much misery in life, and to hear these insults. On the same day at Ecbatana in Media, it so happened that Raguel's daughter, Sarah, also had to listen to abuse from one of the father's maids. For she had been married to 7 husbands, but the wicked demon Asmodeus killed them off before they could have intercourse with her, as it is prescribed for wives. So the maid said to her, "You are the one who strangles your husbands. Look at you. You have already been married 7 times, but you have had no joy with any one of your husbands. Why do you beat us? Is it on account of your 7 husbands because they are dead? May we never see a son or daughter of yours." The girl was deeply saddened that day, and she went into an upper chamber of her house, where she planned to hang herself. But she reconsidered, saying to herself, "No, people would level this insult against my father. You had only one beloved daughter, but she hanged herself because of ill fortune. And thus would I cause my father in his old age to go down to the netherworld laden with sorrow. It is far better for me not to hang myself, but to beg the Lord to have me die, so that I no longer need to hear such insults." At that time, then she spread out her hands, and facing the window, poured out her prayer. "Blessed are you, O Lord, merciful God, and blessed is your holy and honorable name. Blessed are you in all your works forever." At that very time, the prayer of these two suppliants was heard in the glorious presence of Almighty God. So Raphael was sent to heal them both, to remove the cataracts from Tobit's eyes so that he might again see God's sunlight, and to marry Raguel's daughter Sarah to Tobit's son Tobiah, and then drive the wicked demon Asmodeus from her. Boy, there's a lot that happened in that first reading, but we see obviously two people here who are at the end of the end of their rope. They don't know what to do, and they both want to die. Ever been there? You might not have necessarily wanted to die, but did you ever wish you could just curl back up in a ball and go into the bed and never come out? We all face things like that. We all face situations where things look hopeless, where we have nowhere to turn. Maybe we said something we shouldn't have said, did something we shouldn't have did. Maybe somebody betrayed us. Any number of situations, financial problems, sickness, whatever it may be. The lesson for us to learn from these stories, and the lesson to learn in life, is that never give up hope. Never give up hope. Our God is a God of hope. He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to remember that with Him all things are possible. There's no such thing as a sin that's unforgivable, provided you ask for forgiveness. That's all you need to do. You need to ask for forgiveness. There is hope. So if you're struggling today, I want to speak directly to you. If you're struggling with something and it looks hopeless, it's not hopeless. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to ask the Lord to give you His peace. It's never hopeless. Turn to the Lord. And our responsorial psalm today gives us a good message, a set of words that we could use. Psalm 25, "To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. In you I trust, let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. No one who waits for you shall be put to shame. Those shall be put to shame who heedlessly break faith. Your words, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your kindness are from of old. In your kindness, remember me because of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul." Try it out. If you're struggling, if you really feel that you have nowhere to turn, turn to the Lord. A lot of times what he lets happen to us is he lets us get very, very low so that we realize we need him. Because look, we can be proud sometimes. We can forget just how much we need the Lord. So turn to Him today. Tell Him what you're struggling with and ask for His help. Above all, the main thing you need to remember is don't give up. He can do all things. Let's take a look now at the gospel, which is Mark chapter 12, verses 18 through 27. Some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and put this question to Him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take his wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died, leaving no descendants. So the second brother married her and died, leaving no descendants, and the third likewise. And the seven left no descendants. Last of all, the woman also died. At the resurrection, when they arise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "Are you not misled because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. As for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God told him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' He is not God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly misled." Boy, now here we see another confrontation. We see all these kinds of confrontations throughout the Gospels. The Sadducees, they're after Jesus. They don't believe in the resurrection. And they came up to Jesus and put the question to Him about these brothers all dying at the end. The woman also died. She's married to all of the brothers. Whose wife will she be in the end? And Jesus reminds us that the sacrament of marriage is an institution that really exists basically in this life. The purpose of marriage is procreation and to help us, to help one another get to heaven. The husband and wife can help each other get to heaven. When we're in heaven, there is technically no need for the sacrament of marriage anymore. Now, the church has always taught that, or, you know, I don't know if it's an official dogmatic teaching, but it certainly is a traditional type teaching, that we will see one another in heaven. If you're married, it's not like you're never going to see your husband or your wife once you get to heaven, but it's a different type of existence there. Well, Gary, that's really hard to understand. I don't get it. Well, it's what's called a mystery. We can't fully imagine what it'll be like to get to heaven. All we know is that Jesus told us that it's going to be very good, and that He has prepared a place for us. So the important thing to remember is that Jesus talks about being the God of the living, not the God of the dead. You are greatly misled, he tells the Sadducees. In other words, they are focused on the wrong thing. So many times in this life, we set our sights solely on the things of the earth, and we don't see the big picture. What's the big picture? The big picture is that we will live forever in eternity somewhere. It's either going to be heaven or hell, but we're going to live somewhere eternally. We have been born with an eternal soul. Now, the body breaks down, the body will decay, and our soul at the point of death will separate from the body. The soul will go to either heaven or hell, and one day when the Lord comes again in glory, in what is known as the second coming, our body will be reunited with our soul, our risen body. Again, hard to understand, but that's a truth of the faith that that's going to happen. And we will live eternally, either in heaven or hell. If you make it to heaven, that's wonderful. You will live in total happiness forever. On the other hand, it's a possibility. It is a very real possibility that you and I can end up in hell, to be damned forever. We want to avoid that at all costs. How do we do that? We listen to the final recorded words of the Blessed Mother in the Bible. Do whatever He tells you. If you do whatever Jesus tells you through His church, and you try, you can fail, but you need to try to lead a good, holy life every day. Go to confession if you mess up. Receive the sacraments. If you do that, you'll make it to heaven. It really is that simple. All right? Just hang in there. Have faith. And remember, if you're struggling to be good, pray. Ask for the grace to be better. And don't forget confession. You get the sacramental grace that you need in the sacrament of confession. All right, we're going to take a little break. Tony Rossi from the Christophers will have a message for us. When we come back, Brian Mercier We'll talk about what do you say to someone who says, I don't believe in God. Stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. At age 100, you might think that pianist and composer Irving Fields had nothing left to learn and wouldn't want to bother practicing his music. Instead, he called his practice sessions the high point of his day. For instance, he told AARP magazine that he was never able to play a certain Chopin passage, but despite his carpal tunnel syndrome, he felt determined to learn it, and he did just that. Whenever Mr. Fields performed in a restaurant, he approached the job as if he were playing at Carnegie Hall, and patrons loved him for it. Despite his passion for music keeping him young at heart, Irving Fields passed away at age 101. His zest for life and learning, however, remains a lesson for people of all ages. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Brian Mercier is a national Catholic speaker, he's a retreat leader, he's an author, and he has spoken professionally for almost 20 years to both adults and teens. He's a graduate of the Franciscan University of Steubenville and holds a master's degree in theology from Holy Apostles. Brian has written a book called Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Nonbelievers. You can follow him online at Catholic Brian, and that's BRYAN.org. He joins us now to talk about something that I think you're going to find very interesting. Brian, my brother, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure when you come on the show. You've got a hot topic today, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, let's talk about this. And for the benefit of anybody who is not familiar with this book, Why Do You Believe in God? I just want to say, it is an incredibly powerful book. Brian goes through conversations that he has had with people, some of whom don't even believe in God, and I think you can learn a lot from the book. Today, Brian, we're going to talk about this conversation you had with a lifeguard at a local swimming pool, and this lifeguard said, hey, I don't believe in God. Brian, where do you go with that?
To the same place I always go. I can't answer that question until I know why they don't believe in God. And so I actually turned the question on her, and I said, oh, you don't believe in God? And she said, no, I'm an atheist. Whoa. And I said, well, why? And then, you know, she gave me her reasons. And then she wanted to know why I did believe in God. And so I gave her the easiest and simplest proof that I could think of. Now, there's a lot of great proofs for the existence of God. Mm-hmm. Some are better than others. This isn't the best one, but it's the easiest to understand. So what I said to her is, I believe in God because of intelligence, order, and design. And she said, what do you mean by that? I said, intelligence. Think about this. You're an intelligent woman. I was like, we believe if you look at the universe, everything is intelligent. For example, if you walk down the beach and you see a heart drawn into the sand that says Sally loves Johnny, XOXOXO, you don't think that the waves just came up and made that. And she said, no. And I said, likewise, if you're going through the hills of South Dakota and you see four American presidents' faces, you don't say, wow, what a random occurrence of chance. It just, you know, enough rain and wind and erosion, it just made four presidents' faces. No, we're intelligent, and we recognize that another intelligent person drew the heart, and another intelligent person spent the greater part of their life carving those faces out of the side of the mountain. And so I said, if you look at the whole rest of the universe, we see intelligence in it. We don't think for a single solitary second that that all came about by nothing, from nothing, because of nothing, and for no reason whatsoever, just because it was a random accident. No, everything, the sun rises and sets, and if you look at the moon rising, and you look at the elements and the universal constants and forces, everything works together to bring about life, and we say that that is no accident, and we believe we see God behind it.
And Brian, how did she respond to that?
She said, actually, that makes a lot of sense, but how do you know it's God? How do you know it's not like aliens or some other form of life that could have created humans?
Interesting. Yeah. You know what I see here, though, and we just read the gospel, and Jesus, as he was so many times, was attacked by the Pharisees and the Herodians, and they were trying to set him up. They went in with an agenda, and they weren't really open-minded. It sounds like here you're dealing with a person who is really open to the idea of God, even though she claims to be an atheist. Would you say that's correct?
I would say that's very correct, yes. Yeah. A lot of the atheists in my book were vehement and, you know, very not open at first. Right. She was exceptionally open, and she was. I think I told her that God had his hand on her because she was so open and because she, you know, accepted almost everything I gave her.
And it sounds like you have a methodical approach, and what you're doing in the beginning when you're in an encounter like this is to really listen to the other person and try to see what you're dealing with. Is that true?
Absolutely. That's 100% true. I don't just listen with my ears, but I try to my hardest to listen with my heart. Because a lot of the arguments that people give to you on why they don't believe in God aren't the real reasons.
Okay.
There's something deeper, usually. There's a lot of times, I find most atheists have been hurt, or they had something bad happen to them, or they couldn't understand why God let their grandmother die. And they'll yell about the Crusades, and they'll yell about there's no proof for God. But when you get down to it, there's usually one thing that they're angry at. And if you can fix that problem and, you know, help them through it, they're much more likely to come back to God.
How important is prayer to the Holy Spirit, either before, during, or after these encounters that we have?
I do all three.
Wow, do you really? That's awesome.
Before, during, and after. Mm. And I usually pray to the Holy Spirit every day. I try to pray to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, lead me to anyone who needs to know your truth today. Or, Lord, lead me to anyone who might need to know your love and your mercy today.
Mm.
Or, you know, Lord, lead me to those who need you. And then a lot of times he does. And then, of course, when I have a conversation with this girl and I spoke for an hour, and I prayed the rest of the day for her as well.
Wow. And, Brian, I just want to bring up this point. Somebody might be listening to this and say, oh, yeah, Brian Mercier, he's an evangelist. He's a holy guy. He's always been this way. He doesn't get what it's like to be apart from God. You share something in this story, and I know you make no secret about this. You weren't always this way, were you, brother?
No, I wasn't. And I make no secret with those people I'm talking to as well, because a lot of people don't see God as approachable, as loving, as kind.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to share what he did in my life. And I used to dress all in black. I used to carry weapons. I wanted to hurt people. I was an angry volcano ready to explode, just depressed. I didn't even look in the mirror for 7 years because I hated what I saw. I literally thought I was the ugliest person on planet Earth. And that was all before God came into my life. Once God came into my life, he totally transformed me upside down and backwards for the better. He took out all that pain and filled me with healing. He took out all the hate, filled me with love, and he took out all the sadness, brokenness, and depression and literally filled me with like a bubbling happiness to overflowing.
Wow,
and
praise
that's
God.
The way I've been ever since. Thanks be to God.
Yeah, and there's that's such an important image for people. I mean, when you're honest like that, when you're open, they can look at you and say, well, you know what? If God did that for this person, for Brian, they could do it for me. He could do it for me. And you can give them that hope that they need. Because look, whether they admit it or not, whether anybody admits it, everyone's searching for God, even if they don't acknowledge he exists. Right? I mean, ultimately, we all have that inward desire, that inner desire to seek God.
That's absolutely true, and I think that's why there's so many different religions, because we all are seeking God in some way with the way we know, because God's put that innate desire in our hearts, and honestly, he's the only one who can fulfill our hearts. He's the only one who can heal them, help them, make them, mold them, and really help us to become the people he called us to be.
I'm curious, Brian, do you have any idea of how these discussions turned out with this lifeguard?
Yes. In fact, we talked for an hour, probably over an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And we went through everything, all of her objections. And I let her ask all her questions, you know, without fear of being judged.
Right.
And at the end of it, she said, you know what? I think I believe in God now. And
Wow.
I think I'm going to go back to church. I think I'm going to start praying again.
Really?
Yeah. Praise God. That's why I prayed for her for the rest of the day.
Wow. And have you had any encounters with her after that point, or was that it?
Actually, I saw her a week later, kind of, sort of intentionally. I wanted to check up on her, and we had another hour conversation, too, you know, and I wanted her to get the rest of her objections out, because I find that most people are atheist or agnostic or have just left the church because they have not got their good questions answered.
Okay.
They have really good questions, and they don't get really good answers. But when I put all the puzzle pieces in place for them and I help them to see the whole picture, they're so much more likely to come back to God and to live their faith.
Brian, thank you so much for the work you do, brother. And I really appreciate you being a part of this show. We just have about 30 seconds left. If our listeners want to bring you out to their parish to lead a retreat or a parish mission or to give a talk or maybe to purchase the book, Why Do You Believe in God, where is the best place to go for that?
The best place to go is my website, which is www.catholicbrian.org, and that's Brian with a Y, right. And my hashtag is CatholicBrian.
Awesome, and we're going to have that linked at Spirit in the Morning. Brian, you're amazing, brother. Keep up the good work, and we look forward to having you on the program again.
Thank you so much, Gary. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Brian Mercier, the book is Why Do You Believe in God? Catholic Conversations with Skeptics and Non-Believers.
Some atheistic scientists claim we don't need God to explain the universe because science is sufficient to get the job done. But is this true? The answer is no, and here's the reason. Science could never negate the need for God because it can't give an exhaustive explanation of the universe. First, it relies on the inductive method in order to validate its hypotheses. As such, scientists can never be certain they've discovered every piece of data necessary to give a complete explanation. They must always be open to discovering something new that could alter their current theory. Furthermore, science presupposes an existing universe to observe and explain. Thus, it could never explain why the universe exists in the first place rather than not. Science has explanatory power, but not enough power to negate the need for God. I'm Carlo Broussard with a ready reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Thank you, Carlo Broussard, and welcome back to the program. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to The Gary Zimek Show. Very clever name, isn't it? I spent a lot of time coming up with that name. Well, it's been a quick 30 minutes today. I want to thank Brian Mercier for being our guest on the program. Tomorrow, we're going to be back with a look at the daily Mass readings, and Dr. Greg Popchak will be here to talk a little bit about his book, The Beatitudes. I certainly hope you can stop by. Remember that we are now airing this podcast Monday through Friday on Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to it on iTunes or TuneIn Radio. It's going to be free of charge wherever you go. That's the way it is always has been for the 5+ years that I've been doing it. That's the way it always will be. Now listen, I need your help though. If we're going to keep this show free of charge and if we're going to be able to keep producing them Monday through Friday, I would greatly appreciate your donations. I'm going to need your prayers, first of all. I need your prayers to be able to keep going with this, but I would greatly appreciate your donations. You can make contributions by going to followingthetruth.com. Let's keep going with this show. I want to keep doing it. But in order to spend the time necessary to do it, I need you to help me. So I'm so grateful for your support, for your prayers. But if you're able to donate anything through PayPal, you can do that securely. Followingthetruth.com, just go to the donate page. I would greatly appreciate it. I need some new monthly sponsors. So if you're interested in doing that, you can do that there. Or you can make a one-time donation, whatever works for you. And something else you can do that would be really helpful is there's an Amazon link on my website, followingthetruth.com, if you shop from Amazon. And you would just kindly, every time you go into Amazon.com, don't go directly to Amazon.com. Go to followingthetruth.com first and click on that link. Every time you do that, everything you purchase results in a little bit of a commission from me because it came from my website. It's not going to cost you anything extra. I'm not going to know what you buy, so it's not like I'm in your business or anything, but just the fact that you went into Amazon through my website helps, and it generates a commission, and that can really add up. So I'm grateful for that. And also, finally, if you're a coffee drinker, Mystic Monk Coffee, the greatest coffee you will ever drink, you'll find a link for that also at followingthetruth.com. So again, thank you for being on my team, for helping me be able to continue on with this show. God willing, I'm going to continue to do this for as long as I can. Don't forget the morning show as well, Spirit in the Morning. You can listen live at holyspiritradio.org, or you can go to spiritinthemorning.com to download the podcast. Okay, we are just about out of time. Thanks again. And I look forward to joining you tomorrow once again. God bless you. Remember, whatever you do today, wherever you go, the Lord is with you. Turn around and make sure you say hi. Talk to you next time. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.